We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Rishon Mecham Yaakov Bepitichos Eliyahu in Chulin Perikimel Mishnah Hey. Achuzas Hadam, you have an animal that was literally seized with blood, maybe some type of hypertension. According to the Rambam, it means that there's labored breathing. That's how you know it's seized by blood. The Mishnah is going to give us a list of different illnesses that will show that are actually does not make the animal into a trefa, because we're not concerned that the intestines may have been punctured because of these illnesses. Vahama Ushenes, another example where we don't have to worry about the animal being a trefa. This is where the animal, from the word ashan, it inhaled smoke, and it's ill because of that. V'hametzunenes, it's caught a cold, it's because of the chill. She'achla hardufni, hardufni is a type of poisonous herb that's poisonous to animals and not humans. It ate that. V'she'achla tzoas tarnagolim, the dung, it ate the dung of chickens, which is harmful to animals but not to humans. Osha shasas mayim haraim, or it drank water that is bad. Bad water refers to what we call mayim gluyim, where water was exposed and left overnight, not covered. We're afraid that a snake may drink maybe overnight put its venom into it by tasting some of the water. So that's a question whether we have to be concerned with that nowadays or not. Snakes are not necessarily in every community. We don't have them not so prevalent. Says the Mishnah, in all of these cases, kshera. The animal is kshera. You can shecht it. You can eat it. It's not a trefa. We're not concerned that anything happened to the intestines of the animal because of these illnesses. Achla sam hamaves oshi kishar achash. Let's say the animal ate samamavis, which is something that is poisonous to humans, and this is not harmful to animals. Or it was bitten by a snake. So in both of these cases, we're not afraid that it's a trefa either, but there's a concern because the venom of the snake or the poison is harmful to humans. Muteris mishum trefa. You don't have to worry about the intestines being perforated. But va'asura mishum sakanas defashas. But it's usur for a human to eat anyway, even if you did shech this animal, because of sakanas defashas. Now, in the previous halacha, there was no sakanas defashas because whatever the animal drank or ate was something only that was harmful to animals. So the Mishnah says, yeah, that's not a trefa. You're allowed to shecht and eat it. Obviously, because it may be sick, it may be a behema misukenes, you'd have to go back to Perek Bey's Mishnah Vav and see what the halacha is when it comes to behema misukenes. After you shechted it, you have to make sure that it was alive the whole time. It convulses, it moves the legs and the arms. Remember, if it spurts out blood, all the things we discussed there. But in the second part of the Mishnah, this is where there's a poison that may, venom that may be harmful to human beings. So even if you shech the animal, which we said is not a trefa, there's a sakonas nefashos problem for the human being who may be eating this animal, and therefore it's forbidden to eat. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? Whether it's because of sakonas nefashos that you can't eat this, or whether it's because it's a trefa, now what should be the difference? So one explanation, one possibility application Tiferes Yisrael has is whether you would have to kasher the pots that you cook the meat in. If it's a trefa issue, that's a non-kosher issue. So you'd have to kosher the pots. But if it's a sakonas nefoshos issue, so then the pots, you're not allowed to eat it, but the food you cook the pots in would not have to be kosher. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. Simani behema v'chaya nemu minat Torah. Comes to the signs, what makes a kosher animal, a kosher wild animal, that we have from the Torah. The Torah writes, we have in Parshas Re'eh and Parshas Shmini, Zos hachaya asher tochlu mikola behema asher la'oretz, kol ma'freses parasav shosah shesa prasos. So number one, it has to have split hoofs. Malas geiraba behema oso tochelu, and it has to chew its cud. So those are the signs that we have in the Torah. The difference between a chaya and a behema, they may have the same signs, but it's important to recognize that there has to be a difference between them as well, because if we don't know what's a chaya, what's a behema, we can run into trouble. A behema, the chayla, the forbidden fat from the back of the animal, that's an iser kares if you eat that, if it's a behema. If it's a chaya, like a deer, that's not going to be a problem. It's perfectly kosher. Also, a chaya, like a bird, needs kisui hadam after you shecht, and the blood has to be covered with dirt, with sand. When it comes to a behema, after the shkit, you don't have to cover the blood. So although the chai and the behema have the same signs, what makes it kosher, it's important to know what's a behema and what's a chai. So that, although the Chumash doesn't have, the Gemara has. The Gemara says that if an animal, if the horns are what we call mifutzalos, some say it's mivutzalos. Mivutzalos may mean that the horns are stand straight, but the tips of the horns are bent over. And some say mifutzalos means that they're, with a fey, means that they're forked. So if that's the, those are the types of horns that it has, no doubt it is a chaya. And therefore, the chaylev is permitted, but you also have to cover the blood. If the horns are not like that, so then what do we do? Should I assume that it's definitely a not a chaya? I don't necessarily say it's going to be a behemoth. So how do I know? It has horns, so maybe it's still a chaya. So the Gemara there says, well, then you have to have the following three criteria. They have to, the horns have to be kruchos, which is round, as opposed to, let's say, the horns of a goat, which are flat. Number two, they have to be chadudos, which are pointed at the tips of them, and charukos, which are notched. And those notches run one into the other. So this is, some say it's, the word is not charukos, but rather chadukos, which is they're pressed together and you can't peel them apart. These are, if you have those three signs, those three features, then you can assume it's going to be a chaya if you don't have the sign of mifutzalos or mivutzalos, which is where we explain, let's say the horns are forked, whatever it may be. So if you don't have these signs, so then, absent all of these things, then you can assume it's a behema. Assume it's as a behema. You don't need to do kisei adam, and the chelev is going to be aser. The halacha, we assume, the mefarshim say, that we don't rely on any of this. We have a mesora. We'll talk about that when it comes to the birds as well. That whatever our mesora says, what's considered a chaya, what's considered a behema. That's what we follow, and we don't necessarily follow these specific signs that the Gemara has. Then the Mishnah says, "V'simanei ha'oflem lo namru." In the Chumash, we don't have any signs. What are the characteristics of a kosher bird? Not that the Torah doesn't have that. All the Torah has a list of 24 non-kosher birds. So by process of elimination, assuming we could identify those 24 birds, any other bird that we find is going to be kosher. Nonetheless, says the Mishnah, "V'lo amru chachamim." The Chachamim have said, "I have the characteristics of a non-kosher bird. This is the way we will be able to know to identify." So the Mishnah here says, Kol ov hadores tameh, a bird that's dores, that tramples or seizes its food, says the Bar Tanura, ha'ochez b'tziparnov u'magbia min hakarka mashu ochel. So the different explanations of what dores means. The first one is where it takes its claws and it picks up the food that it eats. So that is the first possibility of what it means to seize its food. Seize the food with the claws, lift it off the ground. Another possibility is that the bird uses its foot to hold the food down so that the food doesn't move while it eats it. Or and another possibility is it's that where a bird, if it swallows its if it eats its prey when the prey is still alive, that is that would be another possible definition of an of hadores, which the Mishnah says kol of hadores, which what we call in general a bird of prey, would be tamei, and different explanations for what it means that it's dores. Then the Mishnah says kol sheyesh lo etzba yesera v'zefek v'kurkava no niklaf tahor, and these are the signs of a kosher bird, which is it has an extra finger. What does it mean, an extra finger? So we assume that birds have on the back as an additional toe, really, the higher toe that's behind the other toes. Most birds have this toe. Nonetheless, we call it etzba yisera because it's not in the same row as the others. And zefik, we mentioned the crop already. That's comes off the esophagus and then eventually goes into the gizzard. Virkurkavoniklaf, and not only does it have a gizzard, but you have to be able to peel the gizzard. So that is, you can peel it off from the flesh, from the muscle that's there. That also is a sign. That's the third sign. Those three features, but we can identify a kosher bird. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok Omer kol of hacholek es raglav tameh. He says if you have a bird, that any bird when it stands on a string, let's say, is able to separate its feet, two toes on one side, two toes on the other side, you can't eat that. We assume that that is a bird that's dores, and therefore it's tummy, it's not going to be kosher. Raman believes that Elizabeth Tzadok is not arguing with anybody. He's explaining the Tanna Kamma, just to elaborate upon the Tanna Kamma, and that is, yes, if you have an oaf that's cholekes raglav, everyone would agree that if it splits its feet that way, that's a sign that it's an oaf hadores, and therefore that is going to be tummy, it's not going to be a kosher bird. We may be aware of the fact that nowadays we don't permit any bird based on these characteristics at all, or the fact that, oh, it has a crop and has an espalucera and you can peel off the gizzard, the kerkavon. No, we assume that any bird that we have a mesorah, a tradition that they're kosher, that's what we're able to eat, and that's all. What if a certain community has a tradition that it's kosher? It's in certain countries, not in other countries. So some Rishonim say that other countries can rely on the Mesorah that other people have, even though they haven't had that Mesorah in their particular country. That's the opinion of the Rosh, and the Rashba disagrees. But people can't rely on a Mesorah of some people from another country, because you may have a different Mesorah. And therefore, one should follow the Mesorah that they have in their particular country.